Joshua chapter 7, look at verse number 1. We've been told to do something or not to do something. And the reason was because if you did it, you'd hurt yourself. And you didn't take it seriously and you just went ahead and did it anyway. Let me give you just an example of something never to do if somebody tells you not to do it. My dad had, I don't know what kind of razors he would use, but they weren't the kind that you might use modern razors. They were the kind that you get the razor blade and you'd put it in the thing. I don't know. He might have shaved with a big old Bowie knife or something for all I know. But I found a razor blade there in his cabinet one time, just playing around. I was probably 4 or 5 years old. And they told me not to play with those because they were sharp. And they would cut you. And I thought, that doesn't look so sharp. I mean, it's perfectly smooth. And I thought sharp meant jagged edges like a saw. And I looked at it and I thought, that's not so sharp. And so you know what I did? Just to test it out, I just ran the thing across my thumb. And I found out that it was sharp. You know, sometimes when somebody tells you not to do something, it's for your own good. We'll see that in our story. You'd think I'd learn my lesson the first time. Now, I don't know which of these happened first. I think the razor blade was first, but later on I was in the kitchen, ever curious and not very wise, and found the aluminum foil box. There's a warning on the aluminum foil box that says, careful, it's sharp. And I looked at it, and it didn't look so sharp to me. Now, it did have rugged edges on it. You'd think I would learn this stuff. And that didn't look so sharp to me, so you're not going to believe what I did. I got my thumb, and I went down the razor. And it, you know, that thing cut me, the aluminum foil box, just like the razor blade did. And that's the only two times I did it on purpose. The times I did it on accident. You know, it's kind of interesting how we humans are. That story just makes me cringe just thinking about it. But when God says not to do something, there's a reason for it. The story of Achan, we preached about it this morning. God said to the people of Israel, to the children of Israel, you're about to go in, I'm going to destroy Jericho. And he didn't tell them all the details, but I'm going to destroy Jericho. You're going to go in, you're going to burn it, you're going to destroy everything in the city. The only thing that you're allowed to take out of the city is the gold and the silver and the brass and the iron. And all of that goes into the temple, goes into the tabernacle, because that is going to be consecrated to the Lord. And God told them that, and God told them that for their own good. Later on, we see that they started getting the false gods of the other people in Canaan, where they were moving in and taking over their land. And the craziest thing, they would destroy a city or destroy a little nation state. I don't know if that's what they called them at that point. They called them cities. But they'd destroy it, and that city's gods weren't strong enough to protect that city from the Israelites. But they would destroy the city, and then they would take their gods, and they would begin to worship their gods, their false gods. God knew they were going to do that, so whenever they went into Jericho, he said, do not take anything for yourself, and he commanded them not to do it. This morning we saw Achan's sin. Look at chapter 7 of Joshua, verse number 1. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. Achan sinned. Just say it very plainly. A lot of times in our society, in our culture, we want to sugarcoat it. We want to make it sound a little bit better. But let's just say it like it was. Achan sinned. He saw something that didn't belong to him. He wanted it, and he took it. We'll see that here just a little bit. It's a pattern, and then if you can see the pattern, you'll be able to avoid a lot of sin. Achan sinned, and because of Achan's sin, the entire nation paid for it. They went to fight against the little city of Ai, as we said this morning, the little city of Ai. They chased the soldiers away. 36 men, the Bible says about 36 men died in that battle. Joshua went to God, and he prayed, and he said, God, what are you doing to us? You brought us here, and did you bring us here to destroy us? And God says, stand up, Joshua, what are you doing on your face? Let me explain what happened. And he said, Joshua, there was a man, and somebody, we said the children of Israel, have transgressed and taken the accursed thing. They've sinned. They've hidden their sin. They've stolen from me. And now you are being punished. We talked about God's explanation for Israel's terrible loss. And We saw that God's power was taken, and we saw that God's presence was taken. But if you look at verse number 13 tonight, we'll be able to finish this story, Joshua chapter 7, verse 13, and you're going to see God's remedy. How are we going to fix this? How are you going to get God's presence back among the children of Israel? How are you going to get God's power back whenever you go to fight against the city of Ai and other cities as well? Joshua chapter 7, verse 13, Joshua says, "Up, sanctify the people, and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until ye take away the accursed thing from among you." Did you see God's remedy? Take away the accursed thing from among you. Of course, there's the confession, there's the getting right with God, there's the admitting that something was wrong. But God said, if you want me to go with you, if you want my power, you've got to get rid of the accursed thing. Simply take away the accursed thing from among you. You know, we cannot expect in our lives to have spiritual victory when we have sin in our lives, our church. We cannot expect to have spiritual victory when there's sin in our lives. I mean, really, stop and think about this. Why would I expect God to bless me when I am on purpose rebelling against Him and I've got sin in my life and I am not confessing that to Him and I am on purpose hiding it from Him? Why would God bless me? We can't expect our church to have victory as long as its members are hiding sin in their homes. How can we reach our city with the gospel when the men in the church are looking at lustful images and magazines on their computers and on their phones? How can we make a difference to a lost world outside the church when the people of God inside the church are harboring bitterness and spreading gossip? How can we expect victory for God when God's people are keeping God's tithes and God's offering and stealing from God? Well, God's remedy was very simple. God's remedy was simply take away the accursed thing from among you. I love how simple God made it. Somebody had taken the accursed thing. God had removed His presence. God had removed His power. But God says to Joshua, if you will just get rid of the accursed thing, then we will get things right. What you see in verse 14, that each man in this story gave an account for himself. It's very important for us to understand because one of these days, we will all stand before God. And the more often you can picture this in your life, the more often you can imagine yourself forward to that day when you are standing before God and you realize that it's God and you and there's nobody else around you that you can look to put any blame on. It is just God and it is just you and it's just me as I stand before God. Look at Joshua 7:14. The Bible said, "In the morning, therefore, ye shall be brought according to your tribes. And it shall be that the tribe which the Lord taketh shall come according to the families thereof. And the family which the Lord shall take shall come by households. And the household which the Lord shall take shall come man by man." They didn't know who had done this. Now we knew because God said in chapter 7, verse 1, Achan's the one that committed the trespass. So we know going into this story, but Joshua doesn't know. Nobody else knows. Only God and Achan know who the person is that has this accursed thing buried under the floor of their tent. They're the only two that know. But God is saying, call all the tribes and I'll point out which tribe it was. And then you get that tribe there, everybody else can go home and you separate that tribe by families. And I'll point out what family it is that's guilty. And then everybody else can go home and you bring that family and you separate them by households and I will point out which household it is that's guilty. And then the Bible says, "And the household which the Lord shall take shall come man by man." And verse number 15, "And it shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burnt with fire, he and all that he hath, because he hath transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he hath wrought folly in Israel. Here's what we need to learn from this story. We will all give an account to God as individuals. Now, the entire church may be affected by the sin of one Christian, but each of us will stand before God on our own. That ought to be a scary thought. It really is. It's a sobering thought for me that no matter how many people I can group together and say, it was all of us doing this wrong, whenever I stand before God, it's going to be me and it's going to be God, and I will give an account to God. And you, when you stand before God, it's just going to be you. There was a pamphlet that was made. Jack Chick made this. Maybe you're familiar with this. This Was Your Life is what it was called. It has a picture of a man standing, a man that died, standing. He looks so very small in the picture. And he's standing before this throne of God, and he's all by himself. That was a good picture for me to see when I was a young person. I saw that and I thought, wow, that's gonna shape the way I live. It has been said that the whole cause of Christ is injured by the sin of one believer. Now, the thought of standing alone and giving an account to God ought to change the way we live. Each man gave an account for himself. You saw that man by man. And it shall be that man is going to be burnt with fire. That man is going to be punished. Then you see Achan exposed. It's in verse number 16. So Joshua rose up early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes. And the tribe of Judah was taken. Can you imagine just how, you know that sick feeling in your stomach when you know you're about to get in trouble and you just know there's no way to avoid this? It's going to happen. I'm caught. Now, he hadn't been caught yet. Nobody said his name yet. But he'd seen God work before. He'd seen God dry up the Jordan River and walk across, and they walked across. He'd seen God knock down the walls of Jericho. Achan's thinking, they're going to find me. The Bible does say, be sure your sin will find you out. And Joshua brings the tribe, just like God said, is verse 17. The tribe of Judah was taken in verse 16. Verse 17, he brought the family of Judah, and he took the family of the Zarhites, and he brought the family of the Zarhites, man by man, and Zabdi was taken. And he brought his household man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, was taken. And Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from him. Do you realize what Joshua is expecting Achan to do? What Joshua is expecting Achan to do, he says, confess what you've done. It wasn't just, okay, I confess, I took some stuff I shouldn't have taken. Do you remember the consequences of this? It was Achan saying, yes, I am the one that is guilty for 36 innocent men losing their lives. I am guilty for those men dying because I disobeyed God. He was exposed, and you see his confession, verse 20. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. The thus and thus is what God has already told us in the story. And he's going to fill in the blanks, verse 21. We know he's taken of the accursed thing. Here's what it was. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent and the silver under it. In front of everybody, in front of Joshua, in front of his family, in front of everybody that's there in public, he's saying, I am the one that did this. I have sinned against God. But here's what I want you to notice out of this confession. Here's what Achan said that can help you. He said, when I was in there, I saw something. I coveted something. And I took something. I want you to realize that that's the process that sin often follows. And then he tried to hide his sin from God and the rest of the people. When you recognize the pattern and the process of sin, you can better avoid it. Eve had the same problem. She saw that the fruit was good and desired to make one wise. She coveted it. She wanted it. She desired it. And she took it. And the Bible says, and she gave it to her husband, Adam, and he did eat of it. It's the same process. In James chapter 1, the Bible says, but every man is tempted when he's drawn away from of his own lust and enticed. But I want you to see the end. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And I want you to see Achan's punishment. It's in chapter 7, verse 24. And it came to pass, I'm sorry, that's the wrong one. That's 8:24. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan the son of Zerah and the silver and the garment and the wedge of gold and his sons and his daughters and his oxen and his asses and his sheep and his tent and all that he had, and they brought them unto the valley of Achor. It wasn't called Achor before that, but it's called Achor after that. Verse 25, and Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Wherefore, the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. I hate reading those verses right there, because you've got this family that their dad or their husband, the leader of their family sinned. The leader of their family did something and took something that wasn't his. The leader of their family disobeyed God, and because of that, they all paid this consequence. I don't understand it. I don't need to defend God. God can defend himself. I don't know why God chose to do it that way. I've got one idea, and I'll share with you in just a moment. But even though I don't understand it, the Bible said God was appeased, God was pleased after they removed the accursed thing from their families, from their tribes, from their armies, from their nation. I want you to think about Achan for just a moment. Just a thought. I mean, he was a soldier. He was going in and he was maybe going in to fight and to destroy the city just like all the other soldiers. But just this one thought, he saw something and he thought, I think I can get away with it. I think there's nobody around, maybe. I mean, I don't think he would have done it if there's other people around. I think he thought that he could sin in secret. He could do this privately and he could take these things privately with nobody knowing. Otherwise, I don't know that he would have done it. Nobody else knew. He was in secret. He was at a place. Maybe he had gone into somebody's house. That's what makes sense to me. That's where you would keep a Babylonish garment, right? Probably in your Babylonish closet. That's my only thought. And probably you have your silver and your gold somewhere in there as well. And this wedge of gold. The closest thing I can picture of a wedge of gold is one of those little wedges of cheese they used to give to you on the airplane. Anybody know? But I don't know if it's bigger or something. I don't know. But I'm picturing this, trying to think, how did he carry this all? He saw it. He had this thought, I can take this. I can get away with this. Nobody can see me. He saw it. He coveted it. He took it. And for the rest of his life, although it was a very short life, I want you to understand his reputation was ruined. If God had allowed Achan to live, for the rest of his life, he would have been known as, you're Achan. You're the guy that brought the curse on Israel. You're the guy that snuck in. You're the guy that took those things and you thought nobody knew about it. His reputation was ruined. His family was destroyed. His future was gone. But here's what I want you to realize that just hit me as I was getting ready for this particular message. He was treated with the same punishment as God's enemies. How did God destroy his enemies in Jericho? Well, first, the walls came down. Second, I don't know how the walls came down. People differ on this. They may have fallen in. They may have tumbled down. Some people say they sank into the ground. These walls, they came down. The soldiers came in, and the people inside were killed. And then they were burned as a testimony to their wickedness and to God bringing the victory upon them. And that's what happens to Achan. So whenever he sins against God, he brings this accursed thing into his home. Now he has become the enemy of God. And God judges him just like he judges his enemies. But it wasn't just him, it was him and his family. And everything that he owned, and all of his possessions, that was all treated as if it was the enemy of God. And he was punished the same as God's enemies. And I want to ask you a question. After looking at Achan's life and his death and this really small seeming sin. I mean, think about this. All he did was took somebody's clothes that they weren't going to need anymore, and their money they weren't going to need anymore. It didn't belong to anybody. I mean, but God. That's all he did. He just took something that he wasn't supposed to take. All he did was disobey God. And what we need to realize is all he did was disobey God. And that's how big it is to disobey God. But here's the question. What if Achan had gotten right with God before the battle of Ai? Now, I don't know, and it's probably not a really good idea to ask these what-if questions, but I wonder, would God have been merciful? I don't know the answer to that, but I can give you an answer from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I want you to go ahead and turn there. That's going to help you to be able to make some decisions with the things that you may be hiding in your life. The sins that you've committed against God, that as you hear the message, you hear the story of Achan, and you're thinking, I do not want God to treat me as an enemy. I do not want God to judge me. I don't want to ruin my reputation. I don't want to have my family destroyed. What does God say that I can do about this? I don't know that this would have happened, but I just wonder what if Achan would have come clean? What if he would have come to Joshua before the battle and say, look, Joshua, I've sinned. Here's the problem. Here's the things I've taken. I'm confessing it. I just want to get it right. I don't want to have our men go face this battle without God's power, without God's presence. I just want to get it right. Now, I don't know what God would have done, but I want to show you what God says that he will do for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Let me find it there very quickly as well. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. This is in the context of teaching on the Lord's Supper. And I'm going to read verse number 27. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Very, very serious. Verse 28, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Now, I'm not trying to teach a lesson on the Lord's Supper, but I want to use this lesson about the Lord's Supper to teach what you and I can do whenever we sin against God. So stay with me. I want you to see this. The Bible says whenever we take this Lord's Supper, we ought to take it worthy of the body and blood of Christ. He says some people have taken it unworthily of the body and blood, and they're guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Verse 30, the Bible says, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. God says, I have taken people's lives because they've come to this Lord's Supper, this very, very special time. It's a picture of the body and the blood that was shed for you and broken for you on the cross, and they were unworthy, and because of that, many people are weak, many people are sick. Many people, the Bible says, and many sleep. They have died. Because of this, because of taking this unworthily. But look at verse 31, and we're going to get to this solution. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. What if Achan had gotten right with God? And really doesn't matter so much about what if Achan had gotten right with God, because you can't change the past. But what if you were to get right with God? What if I was to get right with God? What if I could go to God and come to God and say, God, You've made it very clear in my heart that these things are some sins that I am hiding in my life. Maybe I've taken something that belongs to you. Maybe I've not given what does belong to you, my tithes, offerings, whatever it was. Maybe like Ananias and Sapphira, I said I was going to give something to you, and I never did that. Or maybe, God, I've got this sin, and I've been involved in this sin in my life, and I know it's wrong, and I'm guilty, and I feel you working in my heart. I'm guilty about this, but God, what can I do? The Bible says if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Taking the Lord's Supper unworthily can bring God's judgment. And some people died prematurely because of it. The lesson we can get from this is this. If we will get right on our own before God chastens us, we can avoid God's judgment. Did you see that? For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. If you have the accursed thing in your home, in your life, God is going to get it out. God's going to chasten. God's going to punish. God is a holy God, and you're going to lose God's presence. You're going to lose God's power, as we talked about this morning. You're not going to be able to live your life for God. And eventually, God will chasten you to the point where either you change or possibly you die. But there's a better option. The better option is, God, I realize now this is a sin, and I have been hiding it, and now I'm under conviction, and God, I want to get this right with you, and I am judging myself. God, I'm admitting to you I am guilty. God, I'm guilty, and I confess this is a sin. Please forgive me of that. The Bible says, he that confesseth and forsaketh shall have mercy. I need mercy. You need mercy. And as God opens our eyes to the sins that maybe we're hiding, we can say, God, I just want to come clean with you. I want to get right with you. Hebrews 12:11 says this, now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. I probably didn't need to tell you that. Chastening is usually not fun. When God has to take you to out back, I've never had to get taken out back to get whooped, all right? I didn't get taken anywhere. It was just there. And but maybe you know what I'm talking about. When God has to take you to the proverbial woodshed, when God has to take you and he takes you out back and has to chasten you, it's not fun. It's like us parents. We spank our kids if you do that, and that's the Bible method, I believe. When we do that, we look at our kids, we say, look, I love you. And they're like, no, you don't. You wouldn't be doing this. And this is going to hurt me more than it hurts you. Yeah, right. They all say that, right? It hurts. It's not fun to be chastened. But the rest of that verse, now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. When God exercises you in his gym of chastening, you will become righteous. The fruit of righteousness. And that's what I want. I want to live a life that is pleasing to God. I want to be righteous. I want to be right. Let me say it this way. I want to be right with God. You heard the story of Achan. I simply want to challenge us as Christians to do what we read about in 2 Chronicles, and that is turn from our wicked ways. Just get right with God. There's a lot of things that we can hide. There's a lot of things that we can do and think and maybe not do that we're supposed to do. And we're the only ones that know about us and God. And this evening, I just simply want to say, you can get right. You can get right with God. You need to get right with God. And God is saying, listen, just come. Just come. Just confess it. Just get it right. If we will judge ourselves, then God doesn't need to judge us. What an amazing, amazing thought that is. Father, I pray that you would help us to get right with you. It is so easy to allow this world to creep in, allow sin to creep in. But Lord, we see illustrated in the story of Achan your righteous judgment. We see your holiness. And we see that you don't tolerate sin. You don't allow disobedience. You will chastise. You will punish. Lord, I simply ask that you would help us to get our hearts right with you tonight, to come clean with you, to stop hiding our sins that you already know about anyway, just to have that open and real conversation and relationship with our God that says, God, here's the sin. I've been hiding it. I don't think anybody else knows about it, but I know you know, and God, I'm sorry and I'm wrong. And God, I ask for your forgiveness. Lord, I pray that you do a work in our hearts tonight.